أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، ما يهده الله فلا مضل له وما يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، وما يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، one of the greatest miracles, or the greatest miracle given to any prophet, as we have been talking about for during this conference, is the Quran, the living miracle. The Quran was sent, revealed to us as guidance, but at the same time, it is revealed to us also as a cure. A cure for what? A cure for all sicknesses. Whether they be sicknesses, internal sickness, or physical sickness. And many a time, when we have aches and pains, we try to take care of that sickness by going to the doctor. And we don't realize that there are a lot of people who are not only sick physically, but spiritually also. Their hearts are dead as a result of the poison that they have injected into their hearts because of sins and disobedience to Allah that they have committed. And so the Quran has been revealed as a cure. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بعد أن أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وننزل من القرآن ما هو شفاء ورحمة للمؤمنين ولا يزيد الظالمين إلا خسارا. In Surah Al-Isra, verse 82, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we reveal the Quran. In it, it surely is a shifa. It surely is a cure. So what does it mean? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it's a cure, notice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not use the word dawa, medicine. He used the word cure, shifa. Why? Because when you take medicine, sometimes it doesn't work. You can take the medicine, but it might not cure you. And so the word cure itself is more precise and clear to show that it is a cure for the sickness of the heart, and also a physical, cure for physical sicknesses. And as I mentioned, there are some people whose hearts are sick. And we all need to return to the Quran to purify our hearts. By remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the best form of remembrance is recitation of the Qur'an. And that's why those who do not remember Allah, those who forget Allah and commit sins, their hearts die. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَثَلُ الَّذِي يَذْكُرُ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِي لَا يَذْكُرُ كَمَثَلِ الْحَيِّ وَالْمَيِّتِ. The parable, the example of a person who remembers Allah and the one who does not remember Allah, so like the one is a parable or the example of a person who is dead and the person who is alive. And so one who remembers Allah, one who recites the Qur'an, continually cleanses his heart. And that's why when you see somebody, if somebody says, you know, that person does not pray or that person does not recite the Qur'an or... But you know, they have a good heart. They have a good heart. You know, that's like saying, I don't brush my teeth, but my mouth is clean. You don't brush your teeth and your mouth is clean? The reason is because all of us, we commit sins. Every day we commit sins. And if we don't remember Allah, we don't repent to Allah, we don't recite the Qur'an, we don't purify ourselves by asking Allah for forgiveness, then it becomes dirtier and dirtier and dirtier. And it's the cause of the sick, physical cause of our sicknesses in the heart and so forth. But one of the miracles of the Quran and one of the things that I will speak about now, not only just the spiritual sickness, but also physical sickness. When you have headaches, when your feet or when your knees or elbows or shoulders, no matter what part of your body is hurting, then also use the Quran. And there are a lot of people who misunderstand how to do ruqya, how to recite and so forth, and who should recite for who. And the likes, and so they go to this person, and they might go to that person, and that person might ask them for money and things like that. And so are some of these things permissible? What verses are we supposed to recite? How are we supposed to recite them? And can I do it? Meaning not me, but you know, everyone. Can you yourself? Can everyone do it themselves also? Inshallah, we'll cover a little bit of that. I know that our time, that's why I was late, you know, downstairs, because, you know, they say, never give, in Seattle, they say, never give a woman a telephone or Ustadh Abdul Bari a microphone. That's what they say over there, but I don't want that to follow me here, but, you know, it's a little bit hard sometimes. So, this cure in the Quran, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ هُوَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا هُدَى وَشِفَى. Say, it is indeed for those who believe, guidance and a cure. The Qur'an itself is guidance and a cure. So if you have headaches, if you have pains, aches and pains and so forth, and it continues, and you're not reciting the Qur'an, then you have no excuse. You have no one to blame except yourself. When Allah has revealed for us a cure in the Qur'an, we should recite it whenever there's any pain. And so there are different types, as I mentioned, different types of cure in the Qur'an. Some is spiritual. The first type, as I mentioned, which is related to the spiritual aspect of it, it's a cure for the sicknesses related to doubts and your desires. Because sometimes you commit sins and you repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you feel you're always returning back to it, back to the same sin, and you can't make the commitment and determination to change. It's a cure for that also, those desires that you may have that are displeasing to Allah, to commit that which is haram and so forth. The Quran is a cure for that. It's a cure for the shubuhats, the doubts that you may have and so forth. By reciting the Quran, it's a cure for us. But when we recite it, you have to realize that you recite it, first of all, with sincerity. And we recite it, not just reciting it only, but also with reflection and trying our very best to understand the meaning of the verses. Ibn al-Qayyim, he said, the Qur'an is a cure. And the strength of that cure, it's like a weapon that a person has. The weapon may be very powerful, but he who does not know how to use that weapon will not benefit from it. And he who does not have the skills to use that weapon will not benefit from it. And that's why when someone recites the Qur'an, and maybe the cure might not happen, it's not because the cure is not in the Qur'an, it's in the person. It's in the lack of sincerity maybe of that person. Maybe that person is not returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and reflecting upon the verses that are being recited, or not showing respect for the Qur'an and the orders and prohibitions in the Qur'an. So the first thing you have to realize, when something happens to you, you have to realize that you have to return to Allah. You have to repent to Allah. And as soon as you repent to Allah, then you'll see the blessings will again descend upon you. And so there is shifa, which is cure from the desires that a person has. And if you can control your desires, then inshallah, you will have Jannah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. He who fears the position of his Lord, and he forbids or prevents his self, his desires, whims and desires, meaning he doesn't follow his whims and desires, then he will have Jannah. Jannah will be his abode. And then there are some people who allow their desires to take control of themselves, and they make their desires their Lord. أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ هَوَى. Do you not see the one who has taken his own desires to be his Lord? Meaning, why is it that that person has taken his desires to be his own, his God? Because the only one who you listen to totally when Allah tells us to do something, no matter what it is that He's telling us to do, we do it. No questions asked, we do it. But for them, for the people who follow their desires, their desires have taken control of themselves. Whatever their desires tell them to do, they just do it. They've lost control of their desires, or they've lost control of themselves, and they will be the ones who will be in the hellfire. And so to control your desires, this is following your desires and so forth, following those aspects that are displeasing to Allah, then this, the Qur'an is a cure for that. But the Qur'an, as I mentioned, is also a cure for the body. And it's whether you have any aches and pains. Ibn al-Qayyim, he said, when I was making Hajj, he said, when I was making Hajj, I would have headaches and I would have aches and pains. And every time it would happen, I would recite Surah Al-Fatiha. Who here does not know Surah Al-Fatiha? All of us, we know Surah Al-Fatiha. And so he would recite and he said, it would do wonders. And the aches and pains would go and the headaches would disappear. When he would recite while making Hajj. And so this is something that we have abandoned. I know that some of the speakers have been speaking about abandoning the Quran. I'm sure we're abandoning the orders, not being obedient to the commandments that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in the Quran. Of course, we're not reciting it as we should recite it. But also, part of abandoning the Quran is abandoning the fact that it is a cure for us and using it as a cure for our physical ailments. That is something that we also have abandoned. And when we feel aches and pains, what should we do? Do we go to such sheikh? Remember I said that maybe he's more sincere and so forth. But let me tell you something. There is no one more sincere when it comes to your own aches and pains than you yourself. Because when you ask the sheikh, he might love you. Or you ask an elder, that person might love you, but they're not feeling the same pain you're feeling. They might say, I feel it. But you know what? You really feel it. And so when you're reciting, you yourself recite, or you recite upon your children, your own children. Who loves your children more than you? Who would be more sincere than you or your spouse? And so, one of the mistakes that people make, and it's permissible to have someone else recite, yes. But the best thing to do is to recite it upon yourself. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, himself, he used to also recite the last two surahs. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ and قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا اشتكى يقرأ على نفسه بالمعوذات وينفث فلما اشتد وجعه كنت أقرأ عليه وأمسح بيده رجاء بركاتها. The hadith is in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. She said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he would feel any pain, he would recite upon himself the last two surahs in the Quran. Al-Mu'awwidhatayn. These are the last two surahs in the Quran. And he would blow or spit, dry spittle, so you don't have to spit with the, real spit. You do so for your wife might not like it too much. Just dry spittle like that, just sort of like blowing it. And he said, and she said, and when he was in great pain, she meant that whenever he was in great pain, and specifically during the last few days of his life, she said, I used to recite upon him and I would use his hands to wipe it in hoping for the barakah of it. And so she would recite and use his hands to wipe upon wherever he was feeling pain. Because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in such great pain that he could not do so. He could not even get up in those days. And so it's best to recite. Which surahs? Well, I mentioned Al-Fatiha. And that comes from a hadith that's very well known in Sahih Muslim, and Sahih Bukhari also. A group of companions, they were traveling, and they came across a town or a village, and in that village they were not very hospitable to them. And then the leader of the village, the chief of the tribe, he was bitten by a snake. And so when they saw these travelers coming by, they asked if there was anyone who had a cure or who could do ruqya and so forth. And one of the companions came to him and recited Surah Al-Fatiha. And the swelling immediately subsided. And because he was so thankful towards the companions who did that, he gave him a sheep. And so when they arrived in Medina, they asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam whether this was permissible or not, because they were doubtful. Hey, we're using the Quran. How are we going to benefit? How are we going to take and eat? Is this halal for us? In other words, and so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Do you have some of it for me also? Do you have anything left for me also?" And so it's permissible. We're talking about permissible. Remember, they didn't ask for it. It was something that was given to them afterwards. They didn't set this as a condition. And so they recited. So the Sahabi recited Surah Al-Fatiha. So recite Surah Al-Fatiha. We all know Surah Al-Fatiha is the greatest surah in the Quran. And of course there are other verses, like the greatest verse. What's the greatest verse in the Quran? Ayatul Kursi. And you can also, of course, the last two surahs, but the whole Quran is Shifa. So recite it. Recite it, seeking cure, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure you, for no one can cure you except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so should we ask someone to recite upon us? Well, as I mentioned, it is permissible. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned about 70,000 people who will enter Jannah without hisab. And there's a narration that says, they are the ones, هُمُ الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْقُونَ وَلَا يَسْتَرْقُونَ. Those are the ones who do not do ruqya, nor do they seek ruqya. In other words, they seek others to read upon themselves. But you might say, whoa, but I want to be amongst the 70,000 people who enter Jannah also, right? Well, this particular hadith, the addition, the word la yarqun, those who do not do ruqya, that wording is missing in Sahih Bukhari. The one that has la yastarqun, who ask others, is one that's mentioned. So the scholars of hadith have mentioned, and amongst them, Ibn Qayyim, he said this extra la yastarqun, la yarqun, those who do not do ruqya, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did ruqya upon himself. Didn't he do it upon himself? Yes, he did it upon himself. So how can you say, hey, if you do that, you're not going to be amongst the 70,000 people? No, inshallah, you still will be. Those who put their trust in Allah, they still do ruqya, because they're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reciting the Quran upon themselves. The ones who will not be amongst them are the ones who ask others to do ruqya for them. But is it haram? No, it's permissible. But then we're talking about the top the best of the people. The best of the people. They don't seek ruqya from other people, but they do ruqya upon themselves. They can do it upon themselves. Just like the Prophet ﷺ did so in their companions. Also, and others can do it. If someone does it for you, it's okay. You don't ask for it if they do it. Like say for example, you should actually, when you see that your son is in pain, you see your spouse is in pain, do ruqya. And when you do ruqya upon yourself, also you're reciting. And when you recite the Quran, you get more reward. So you don't have to ask other people to do so. Try to do it yourself, because you are the one who is most sincere concerning your own self. And we should recite the Quran, of course. It's not only is it a cure for all of the, you know, the ailments that may be physical ailments that we may have, it's also a cure for other types of sicknesses also, and other types of affliction. And there are certain verses that we should also recite for certain types of affliction, like when someone is afraid that someone might do magic upon them. Or you should always recite, of course, Surah Al-Baqarah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اقرأوا سورة البقرة فإن أخذها بركة. For indeed, recite Surah Al-Baqarah. Notice he said, recite Surah Al-Baqarah. He didn't say, hang Surah Al-Baqarah. Some people, they hang this surah and that surah. And then you ask them, they say, it will protect our house, inshallah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say, hang Surah Baqarah. He said, اقرأوا سورة البقرة فإن أخذها بركة وتركها حسرة. Leaving it, taking advantage of it is barakah. Reciting it is barakah. Continuing to recite it is barakah. And leaving it is hasra. Is you'll be regretful. وَلَا تَسْتَطِيعُهَا الْبَطَلَ. And those who perform magic will not be able to have their magic affected. So the magicians will not be able to harm you. But recite Surah Al-Baqarah. Don't put on Surah Yasin and hang it on the door. Or don't just hang Ayatul Kursi in your car and say, you know what, I'm going to put Ayat Kursi over here. And, you know, hang it. Inshallah, I won't get into any accidents. I know brothers who hang Ayat Kursi, they still get into accidents. Right? Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Recite it. Sincerely, the more sincere you are, the more power, I mean, the stronger it is. And so recite it upon your family when your spouse is in pain. Don't wait for her to ask. Both of you guys want to be 70,000 inch agenda also, right? Just recite it upon them. It's okay to do ruqya. And it's okay to ask people to do it for you. I'm just saying, like, hey, the top guys, they don't do that. Those who want to be amongst the 70,000 who enter without hisab, without any judgment, or then those are the 70,000 people. And so Surah Al-Ikhlas also, قُلْ هُوَ لَوْ أَحَدْ, or any surahs. And you know, you might hear somebody saying, okay, recite this surah when this happens. Recite that surah or this verse when this happens. Do so. I mean, if someone does it for themselves, it's okay if they want to do that. The whole Quran is a cure. But you shouldn't say, okay, recite this surah if you have a headache. This particular surah, because you have headaches. The surah of wudu, because you have headaches or something like that. But if somebody wants to do so, it's okay. But we as Muslims who want to follow the true path, anything that we have specifically, we shouldn't tell other people to do so unless it's specific. We have specific proof for it. But if they choose certain surahs because that's what they memorize or that's what they like to read, then it's okay, it's permissible. But you know, don't say you should recite this surah and that surah only. And so the Quran is also guidance and a cure. And it teaches us also to look for cures. Like, for example, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. I know it's probably the wrong time at this point, right? Is it the right time? Is it Isha time right now? Sorry about that. That's the problem with technology nowadays. They distract you, even in on the pulpit. But it's a good distraction when it's adhan, right? It's better than the other stuff. The other things reminding you. So, but not at this time, right? Maybe it is. I think it is. It's telling me, you know, like I said, you know, never give Ustad Abdul Bari a microphone. That's what they say. So it's a good reminder. But anyways, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to look for it also in certain things. And one of the most beneficial types of cures that we have is mentioned in the Quran, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about honey. When he says, مُخْتَلِفٌ أَلْوَانُ فِيهِ شِفَاءٌ لِلنَّاسِ. Different colors, and in it is shifa. Now, where does the honey come from? It comes from the bees. And where do the bees get to make the honey? They get it from the nectar, from all the plants and flowers and so forth that they take from. So it's an indication to us to study, to look for cure in those things. The Quran, مَا فَرَّطْنَا فِي الْكِتَابِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. We have never neglected or left out anything in this book, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned. And so part of it is a guidance to seek cure through the plants and so forth. And also, it's also a cure for us in the way that we live. When you live according to the Quran, when you sleep according to the Quran and the Sunnah, it will be a cure for you, and it will give you strength. When we recite the Quran at night time, believe it or not, that in itself is a cure for us. You know, there a couple of years ago, I read an article. I think it was from Columbia University. They were doing studies on sleep. And they were trying to find out what is the best way to sleep. What is the most beneficial way to sleep? And what should we do to sleep so that we will be fully energized when we wake up in the morning? And so you know what they found out? They said, go to sleep early. But before you go to sleep, it's best to take a shower. And if you can't take a shower, freshen up. Okay? They spent 20 years studying sleep. And that's what they found out. Of course, other things also. We Muslims, we have that. We've had that for a long time. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught us to make wudu before going to sleep. Even if you've just slept with if you just had marital relations, if you can't take a shower, make wudu. Let me tell you, okay? What kind of wudu is this? This is a wudu that can never be broken. Why? Because you're making wudu, yes, but can you pray? You are in a state of janaba. You have to take a shower, but the Prophet ﷺ is telling us to make wudu before you go to sleep. What is this wudu for? This wudu is for sleeping. So at least freshen up, right? That's wudu. And they said, if you do that, you will fall asleep faster. You get to that deep stage faster, which is more replenishing for you. And so you will sleep, because your sleep will be deeper, you don't need to sleep as much. And so those, and also, you know what they said? They continued on, they said, Set your alarm a little bit past midnight. And then wake up. You want to go drink water, do anything, you know, just do it, okay?
If you can freshen up again, it's better for you, okay? Okay. And then go back to sleep and go for another third of the night. And then wake up again and do the same thing. Go to sleep until the time that you want to wake up. Then you wake up. If you do that, it will be it's the best way to sleep. Do you know what they just described? What did they just describe? The prayer of Dawood alayhi salam was the best prayer. The tahajjud of Dawood alayhi salam. So if you're not a morning person, you know, some people, they say they wake up, I'm not a morning person. I mean, you know, I'm just not a morning person. I wake up groggy and stuff. Do you know why you're not a morning person? Because you're not a tahajjud person. That's why you're not a morning person. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the very beginning tells the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya ayyuhal muzzammil, qumil layla illa qaleela, nisfahu awinqus minhu qaleela, awzid alayhi wa rattilil qur'an tartila. Ya ayyuhal muzzammil, O ye who is covered up. قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Stand up at night time, except for a little bit of it. نِصْفَهُ أَوَنْقُصْ مِنْهُ قَلِيلًا. Half of it, or decrease a small portion from that. أَوْ زِدْ عَلَيْهِ وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. Or increase a little bit from that and recite the Qur'an with the proper recitation. Because it's a cure for you. A cure for the shubuhat. A cure for sicknesses of the heart. A cure for your body ailments. And it's a cure for your morning, and you're not a morning person thing. Right? Get up and recite at nighttime. Allah created us for what? He created us for His worship. And so He has made our body to fulfill that obligation. To be able to fulfill that obligation. So when you stand up at nighttime to pray and recite the Qur'an, then it is best for you spiritually and physically. And it will be a cure for you physically. أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقَ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. Does he not know whom he has created? And he is the all-subtle, all-aware. So we have been created to worship Him. We have been created, and our bodies have been created and given the capacity to wake up at nighttime. And if we do that, then we achieve happiness and health in this life and in the hereafter. Emotionally, spiritually, and physically. وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. And we reveal the Qur'an. مَا هُوَ شِفَاء. And in it is shifa, cure, not just medicine. And rahmah, mercy for the believers, للمؤمنين. But the disbelievers, all it does, it causes them to be more lost. And so that is why one of the reasons for our sicknesses is because we have abandoned the Qur'an. And the Qur'an also teaches us that if we should ever have ailments and pains and so forth, it teaches us also, it gives us also the strength to be strong. And it tells us to be patient. And that whatever will come afterward, inshallah, will be better. Any ailments you may have, your sins are dropping from your body left and right, and you are being raised in status. Every single time a thorn pricks you, every single pain and ailment that you may have. So it teaches us also, the Quran and the Sunnah teaches us, gives us also the medicine to handle the pain if we should have the pain, and to put our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we put our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then inshallah, and we recite the Quran continually, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will purify ourselves and strengthen ourselves physically and spiritually. And then of course our hearts will be clean. And when your heart is clean, that's when you enter Jannah. Because nobody will enter paradise except for those whose hearts are cleansed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ.
On the day in which your wealth nor your neither wealth nor children will avail you, except for those who come forth to Allah with a healthy heart. How can we have healthy hearts? We have to recite the Quran, not abandoning it as a cure. How can we have healthy bodies? We do so also by not abandoning the Quran, by not abandoning the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah. When the doctor tells you to do something, you do it immediately because you think that the doctor knows what's best for you. But when Allah tells us what's best for us, we say tomorrow. We say next week. We say after I retire. We say after I graduate. We say after I make Hajj. We say after I get married. After I finish my mortgage. After I retire. We procrastinate and we delay. The Quran is the same Quran that was revealed to the companions. The Quran that we have is the same Quran that was recited by the companions, recited by Abu Bakr, recited by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then why is there so much sickness in the ummah right now when we still have the Quran? Remember I mentioned, don't blame the Quran and don't blame Islam. Don't blame the Quran, there's nothing wrong with it. It's us. Because we no longer respond to the Quran and the Sunnah. And so you recite the Quran properly. The quicker you are to respond to Allah, the quicker is Allah in responding to you. So if you're wondering, why is it not working for me? It's because we're not responding to Quran, the Quran. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, تَعَرَّفْ إِلَى اللَّهِ فِي الرَّخَاءِ يَعْرِفْكَ فِي الشِّدَّةِ. Know Allah in times of ease, meaning be obedient to Allah in times of ease. Remember Allah in times of ease. يَعْرِفْكَ فِي الشِّدَّةِ. And Allah will know you in times of hardship. So the cure from the Quran actually starts from before you even become sick. So that's why if you are wondering why is it not working, well, the first thing you have to do is be sincere. Repent to Allah. Return to Allah. Be obedient to Allah. And stop saying tomorrow, next week, after I retire, but say now. Inshallah, return to Allah and Allah will be there for you. And when you recite Al-Fatiha, then like Ibn Qayyim, he said, I found wonders. When I would finish reciting, my headache would subside immediately. And so don't abandon the Quran as a cure. for all our ailments. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach us that which benefits us and benefit us from that which He has taught us. وجزاكم الله خيرا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.